Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
My next guest was a senior advisor at the heart of the Ukrainian government until the Russian invasion, negotiating EU accession and advising President Zelensky and Deputy Prime Minister Fedorov on digital transformation. But because of the terror of war, Dr. Yulia Garacha and her five-year-old daughter, Dasha, have fled Ukraine, flew into Dublin yesterday, and they're now safe in the heart of the East Cork countryside, thanks to our friendship with UCC Computer Science Professor Barry O'Sullivan. I'll speak to Barry in just a moment, but first, Yulia, you're very welcome to Ireland.
Thank you very much. And I have never been here. And I, honestly speaking, always dreamed, but I could never imagine that I could come under such circumstances.
You just arrived yesterday, is that right?
Yes, exactly. Well, everybody knows that the war began in Ukraine and more than 1 month ago. And I did hope that it would end in a couple of days, 3 or 5 days. Nobody expected the escalation of the situation. Also, of course, did not expect the bombardments from the sky and artillery strikes of a whole territory of Ukraine, as well as missile attacks. Nobody expected this. And after being in Ukraine a month, I decided to move because it was a direct risk to my life and to life of my daughter.
And what did you tell your daughter when you decided to leave?
Yes, she is 5 years old and she sees that something is wrong, and I had to explain somehow. I said that bad people came to our country, they do bad things, and we have to be very careful, and we have to do everything possible to save our lives.
When you decided to leave Kyiv, you got the train, the refugee train, which
yes.
left from Kyiv to Uzhgorod. Is that right? Tell me about that journey.
Exactly. We left Kyiv for Uzhgorod. It's a Ukrainian city very close with Slovakia border. And we took evacuation or refugee train because it was not safe anymore to stay in Kyiv, because bombardments took place there, and actually more than 2 million people left Kyiv. And now the atmosphere is completely different, and Kyiv is going to protect itself in the case of escalation. And we took a refugee train to Uzhgorod, and of course I was asleep a whole night, and we were said that we have to move from the windows. I had to keep my daughter away from the windows, not to to be attacked by artillery or something else. And then we came to Uzhgorod and stayed there for a week.
How were you and other people, other refugees, on the, was the train packed? Was it full?
Everybody is very upset, and everybody feels pain so much. And I can even describe what we feel. It's hard to even describe. And I was in train with a woman from Chernihiv, and she told me something that was happening there. They felt lack of food, lack of water, etc. And she went to Uzhgorod with her sons, with her two little sons.
I know it was key in your decision to leave Kyiv, your home city. But we're hearing reports of not just continued bombardment of Kyiv and other cities, but also of Russian soldiers using rape and sexual assault of women as a tool of war. Was that part of your decision-making process?
Yes, absolutely. And before leaving Kyiv, we stayed for a while in a village with my mother and my daughter, because I thought that it would be more safe safe to be there than in Kyiv. This village is 100 kilometers from Kyiv. But then I heard what was what happened in Borodyanka and Brovary. So these cities are not far from Kyiv and not far from the village where we stayed. And I heard that, and it's absolutely crimes, violations against humanity. Russians killed men. They went to the house, killed men, violated women with the presence of children. So it's not the one history. There are some histories, such histories, and it's incredible. And that it's just it's a tragedy which is going on our land now. And it's impossible to believe that it could happen now, such things whenever. But it was close to us, and then we decided to move to Kyiv and then to move to Uzhgorod from Kyiv.
My God, which is completely understandable.
Yeah, I felt that I would not be able to protect me and my daughter. And my mother denied to come with us.
Your mother is still there?
Yes, yes.
Are you afraid for her?
Sure, I'm afraid, but she is an old woman, and she it's hard for her to move somewhere, and she said that she will die on her own land, so she doesn't want to go anywhere.
She sounds like a fiercely proud Ukrainian woman, your mother, as you are as well. I can understand why you fled from such shocking depravity, really. But can I ask you about the practicalities then of flying to Ireland? You flew from Bratislava, is that right?
Yes, exactly. And I have to say that Barry proposed his support at the beginning of war on the 24th, as I remember, of February, as just as it has it began. But I could never expect that I would need such support. But now I applied to him after a month that thank you for kind words and your kind words and proposal. And I have to use your support. So we came to Ireland from Bratislava by flight, to Dublin. And then we came to Cork, and Barry and his family were so kind, and we stayed at their home.
Professor O'Sullivan, you're very welcome to the programme. A very honourable act indeed that you're doing, and like an awful lot of people across Europe and across this country. From your point of view, you reached out because you knew Yulia from work you were doing in Ukraine in terms of EU application and so on. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. I've been doing some work in Ukraine for many years, and Yuli and I met with many others in September of 2019, and I've kept in contact with everybody that I met there at that time. And I suppose when the war started, it was important. You know, I just felt it was the right thing to do to reach out to people. But the I don't see it as an honourable thing at all. I just think it's the right thing to do. You know, there are you know, we have friends and some cases family who are in dreadful circumstances, and they need all the help we can get. And you know, I'm you know, obviously I wish it was under different circumstances, but it's great to have Yulia and Dasha at home, and Dasha is enjoying hanging out with my dog Luna, and you know, anything we can do to help is great. And of course, you know, Yulia is an amazing expert in EU Ukrainian relations and Ukraine-US relations, and you know, I think she can continue the kind of work that she's doing with the Ukraine government from here very, very easily. So you know, anything we can do to help, we're delighted to support her in any way we can.
Yeah, and I'll ask you about that in just a second. When it happened, Barry, you made the invitation some weeks ago now, maybe some months ago even. But when it happened, when Yulia said, "Yes, I need your help, Barry," it happened very quickly.
Well, it did, yeah. So I suppose, you know, over the years I've been in touch, but when the war started, you know, I reached out to everybody that I knew. But you know, I think a week or so ago, the situation that Yulia was dealing with was getting worse and worse, as she says, and I think she's probably even understating much of the detail. But it just became clear that you know, she needed to come, and I think we were originally expecting her in the next couple of weeks, but you know, things just escalated so quickly, especially in relation to what's happening to women and children out there, that she just needed to come as quickly as possible. So as quickly as, frankly, that she could get to an airport to get her to Dublin, she did. And
you helped with those practicalities, Barry, did you?
Well, just in terms of, you know, this is an airline to use, and, you know, this is the option, and, you know, here's the bus schedule. You know, very, very simple, ordinary things.
Yeah, without doubt. And well done to you for doing so. Yulia, you hold a very senior advisory position in the Ukrainian government.
So what I was doing earlier and now, negotiations process with European Commission and with member states of the EU, I would say, from the point of positive side of negotiations. So, okay. I mean, just to make reforms and to move forward with our partners.
How quickly do you think, or would you like, Ukraine to be admitted to the European Union then?
I understand absolutely that from legal point of view that it's very complicated process, and from political and economical point of view as well. Dealing with this for many years gives me an understanding of that. But now, in this challenging time, maybe new solutions should come, and more quick solutions, avoiding European bureaucracy and our, of course, as well. I do hope that we would get the candidate status to become a member of the European Union as soon as possible. Such status would stop any doubts outside Ukraine, because I would like to outline that inside Ukraine there is no doubt of our values, European values, of our choice and our way, which we chose in 2018. We confirmed it when there was risk of not signing of the association agreement with the European Union. So such status would let us to move forward, to make further reforms. And I would never, it would be really a tragedy if Ukraine would be like a gray zone between the West and Russia, without any opportunities for further reforms, for investments, for economical development, etc.
Well, I know there are reports of...
I do hope that such status would protect us from such bad development.
Yeah, and I think there are reports, and I'm sure you're more aware than any of us, of trying to expedite that process to admit Ukraine to the European Union. So let's hope that happens. Can I ask you finally, I know you know Professor Barry O'Sullivan, but I also know that you researched East Cork before arriving here. So are you glad to be here now? And do you know what you'd like to see over the next couple of days on your first few days in Ireland?
I felt the atmosphere and very very great support from Ireland from the airport, from the beginning, when we were welcomed by immigration officers, and they were polite and very kind. And everybody, as I saw, felt our pain, I would say so. It was really great to come, very friendly environment, and it's very beautiful here. When we were traveling from Dublin to Cork, there were great views, and the land is really great. And I have seen some pictures before of Ireland and Dublin and Middleton, where I am now, and it's really great, and I'm looking forward to see everything.
Well, do you know what? Cork people will tell you that it is the most beautiful place in the world, Yulia, and maybe they're right.
You know the definition of a Corkman with an inferiority complex, don't you?
Go on.
It's the it's a fellow who thinks he's just as good as everybody else.
I think Yulia is in good hands there.
She'll be fine. We're going to the beach now later on, and we're going to the Middleton Farmers Market in the morning, and we've plenty of seeds to be planting for the garden, so we're all good.
You know what? We have a phrase in Ireland, in Irish. It's Cade Mila Fáilte. I don't know if you've heard it yet. It's 100,000 welcomes. So Cade Mila Fáilte to you, Yulia, and Dasha as well, your daughter. Dr. Yulia Gariacha and Professor Barry O'Sullivan, thank you both very much indeed for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.